Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 41. Get back to where you once belonged.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics, season 3, episode 2. I'm Jenny Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are here with the mayor of Cedar Highlands, Jim Beiler. Jim's been in before, but we wanted to have him back and get an update on what's happening with Cedar Highlands, the newest incorporated town in the state.
Well, thanks for having me. There's certainly a lot of information to talk about.
Yeah.
We may be the newest incorporated, but I think there's a possibility we could be the next one unincorporated. That's part of what I think would be important to talk about, so we can let the community know.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So just for those who don't know, maybe give us just a kind of a brief history of how you got here, and you can leave out, you know, some of the sordid details, but just sort of
right. Well, the community voted to incorporate a little over 2 years ago. And our mayor resigned about 6 months ago, and I was appointed by the council to, mm-hmm. you know, to take over. And I just think, you know, one of the main reasons why we incorporated was to have an improved road. Uh-huh. And the reality is incorporation hasn't helped us get any closer to getting an improved road up there.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we're probably farther away today than we were before we incorporated. So I think part of the issue is some of the representations that were made at the time just haven't panned out. Mm-hmm. And for instance, the potential to get millions of dollars in grant money, that's wasn't a realistic possibility back then, and it's not a possibility now. We pretty much verified from the Lieutenant Governor's office on down through the county that no one's going to give Cedar Highlands millions of dollars.
There's just not a big bucket of...
There's just not a big bucket of money. We asked the Lieutenant Governor directly when he came to visit Cedar Highlands.
And I think that's so great that he came through on his tour.
It's great. He was going to stay 15 minutes, and I think he stayed over an hour.
Wow.
He was just captivated by the beauty of the community. He had never been there before. And we had a great turnout. We had almost 50 members of our community show up.
That's fabulous.
It was. And he was asked directly about grants, and he flat out said, there are no grants like that available. And if there were, there would be close to 100 rural communities in Utah buying for those grants.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think, that's just been one of those things that we found out no one's going to give us that kind of money, and being an incorporated town didn't open us up to getting any of those kinds of grants to do the road improvement. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, I think there was a representation made that we would have equal or better services without any increase in taxes. And that also hasn't panned out.
Yeah, that's hard to square how that would happen.
Well, it is. And, you know, we have the highest tax rate, the property tax rate in Iron County right now. And we actually have a pretty much a bare bones budget.
Yeah.
And we still have the highest tax rate.
Yeah.
So if we were to provide any more services, the only way to do that would be to have a pretty substantial increase in property taxes. And I don't think the community is really looking, you know, for that to happen.
Well, you think about the things that the county helps, you know, sort of the rural unincorporated communities with. You've got fire protection, you've got police protection, you've got, you know, building inspection, all those things that are sort of contained in one spot in the county. But if you incorporate, then you've got to bring in all of those.
That's exactly right. You know, we are paying a substantial amount of our budgeted taxpayer dollars for services that were provided for when we were just county residents.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I talked to a city council member from Cedar City, and I think he put it the best. He said, you cut your lifeline to all the services that the county provided, and now you have to fund those yourself.
Yeah.
Financially, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That was his take on it. And the bottom line is, we don't have any commercial tax base at all.
Yeah.
So everything that we fund has to come from the homeowners through their property taxes.
Yeah.
Well, even a place that has a commercial tax base, like you look at Cottonwood Heights up in the Salt Lake City area, substantial population, substantial commercial tax base, and man, they were hurting for years when they incorporated.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine just 100 people with no no sales tax income.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, so we have a bare bones budget, and we refocused our spending on the priorities of the community, which is essentially the road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We eliminated some part-time paid positions that, quite frankly, we weren't getting the bang for our buck.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say that in the last 6 months that I've been mayor, we've spent zero on the town attorney, where we had spent over $10,000 on the first half of the year. And that's, to me, I look at that, and I think our community residents look at that as that's money that needs to go to the road,
yeah.
Snow removal, making sure we have winter access, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think we've realigned our priorities where they should be, there's still a real issue about, is it financially feasible to maintain being a town? And I think a lot of community residents have come to the conclusion that it's not. It doesn't make sense.
Let me just ask you real quick, because we keep talking about the road. Can explain access to Cedar Highlands and why that road is such a big deal? I mean, to the extent that the town incorporated to try and manage that. So what's the issue there?
Well, I mean, it's for some people, it's not an issue at all. You know, everybody that ever bought a house up there had to drive up the road. The bottom line is it's a curvy mountain road. It's about a 2.5 mile road into our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's one particular section that we do need to address, whether we stay a town or we go back to the county. And I think we can address it when we go back to the county. And that's what we refer to as the grade and the hairpin curve.
Mm-hmm.
There's one area that is fairly steep. It's a short stretch of road, but during the winter, it becomes a little tricky to navigate. And you have to have the right equipment. You have to have snow tires or during snow, put on chains and those
mm-hmm.
types of things. But I think most people would like an improved road.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean a freeway running up to Cedar Highlands.
Right.
We go back and forth about whether we should have a paved road or just an improved gravel road, improve some of the hairpin curves
yeah.
and those types of things.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we'll try to do going forward, assuming we go back to county governance.
Yeah. Now, my understanding is the reason the road is such an issue is because originally Cedar Highlands was designed as just a summer, like, second home cabin type. But over the years, it's definitely become a place where people live there year round.
Right.
You've got lots of full-time residents. And so when that road was originally put in, it was not built to county standards.
Right.
And so it's not like the county can just come in and take it over because of the grade and because of those turns. Is that an accurate?
Right. And, you know, this was way back before almost everybody lived up there, mm-hmm. that it was kind of initially proposed and designed as a part-time summer community. Yeah, so we're going back 30 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clearly evolved into a full-time bedroom community
yeah.
in Iron County with
yeah.
a lot of full-time residents up there. And there's still, you know, a lot of part-time residents, but it's becoming more and more full-time residents.
Yeah.
I mean, I live there obviously full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a matter of the road can be improved. But I think our residents just need to be clear on the facts
yeah.
that it's going to be up to us.
The facts and the cost.
It's going to be up to us to work with the county to decide how much we're willing to pay
mm-hmm.
to have an improved road. The county's not going to come in and write a check, you know, for X millions of dollars to improve the road. We already determined there's no grant money.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way forward is for us as a community to decide how much we're willing to be assessed
mm-hmm.
for an improved road. You know, I'm willing to, if we go back to the county, our property taxes are going to go down significantly,
right.
which
right.
is a good thing. We'll
yeah.
all be saving money on our property taxes.
Uh-huh.
If we can then accept an assessment from the county to improve the road, then we'll have a better road
sure.
up there.
Let me ask you this too, because I've had people talk about Right Hand Canyon that
right.
goes up to the top of the subdivision. Now that's closed down in the winter. What's the possibility of making that the full-time access to Cedar Highlands?
The problem with that, and you know, we've talked to the county specifically about that, is that road does not hold up to heavy snow plowing equipment during the winter.
Yeah.
And so they're concerned that if you plow that road, you'll end up doing damage.
Right.
It's, mm-hmm. it's a part of it. The patch jobs they're doing are asphalt, but the road basically is a chip seal, and it doesn't have the foundation necessary to to hold up the heavy equipment.
It doesn't have that 8 inches of compaction and base, and then
exactly.
the road base, and then the...
So they don't plow it because of the damage that they could do to the road, and
yeah.
and therefore it's closed during the winter,
yeah.
and we don't have access that way. So we have to come up the front of the mountain. And I'll say, you know, this in the fall we spent you know, quite a bit of the road maintenance budget improving the road,
mm-hmm.
and we got a lot of comments that
mm-hmm.
the road was better than it's been in years. It had been neglected.
Yeah,
it had
certainly.
Been neglected for a while.
It was pretty washboarded many times when I've gone up there.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. But just in terms of the road base we put down, and like I said, I got a ton of comments from people that had said the road had improved significantly. And so, I mean, it's not like the road's not like impassable.
Yeah.
You know, I drive up and down it every day. And
yeah,
so,
sure.
so do other people.
Sure.
But it's just about making some, I think a priority would be just some of the areas that can improve from
yeah.
a safety standpoint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get that done. But to be honest with you, we didn't need to be a town
right.
in order to go through that process with the county. I became aware and I talked to the, I think it's called the Sunset Subdivision.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, they went through the process with the county.
Yeah,
to
just
work.
Within the last year.
Yeah, and I drove out there, and they went from paved road, unpaved roads and drainage issues to having wide, chip-sealed paved roads with new drainage. And
uh-huh.
They did that by going through the process with the county
mm-hmm.
to get you know, a cost for the road,
mm-hmm.
to agree on the assessment for their community to approve it. And then the county went out and they got the roads improved and done, and the county took over the maintenance
mm-hmm.
of the roads.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a process that we can go through in Cedar Highlands. Obviously, our road situation is going to be different in terms of we're on a mountain.
Yeah.
It's going to cost more.
Yeah.
But the process is still the same. And
there's even some BLM aspects. To
yes.
your road, because some of that neighboring property right there is owned by the BLM. So
yeah, the road goes through BLM land, and about 3 years ago, the county was actively working on realigning the road, and they actually had, according to the Iron County minutes, they had a $3 million loan approved to do the road work and the improved road, and they worked on that for about a year. And the reality is the incorporation kind of killed the county's involvement
yeah.
in the road.
Yeah, well.
Because they, as they say in the county minutes, Cedar Highlands Incorporated were turning over the road project to the new town, and they
uh-huh.
kind of washed their hands of it,
yeah.
and the loan went away, and the community was never fully, I would say, never fully sold on the details of what it would take for
mm-hmm.
the county to do the road, and it kind of just fell apart. It was before I got here. But the reality is, and the thing about being a town is we don't have a paid staff. We
right.
don't have full-time engineers
yeah.
and planners. I don't have the ability to manage a multi-million dollar road project,
right.
and I'm not sure anybody in our community is willing to step up and,
sure.
and do that.
Yeah.
The county has those people in place,
yeah.
and they have resources that they can use to design essentially a road that would be within the county,
uh-huh.
and it's the funding is the issue that we have to decide. Are we going to step up, fund the road, pay for it, and get it done working with the county? Working as a town, it's just not feasible.
Yeah.
And we have spent countless thousands of dollars over the years on studies and things
oh,
like
geez.
That. And to me, it's just spinning our wheels.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I'll give you one idea of a bill that was accrued, $4,900 for an engineering company to tell us that we can't afford to do the road that was proposed. All right. I mean, that's the direct quote is
oh.
the road is not financially feasible for the community.
Wow.
And that cost us $4,900 to do that. So now that proposed road is ultimately not going to be the road I think we end up actually funding.
Sure.
That was the freeway up from Cedar Highlands up to the top of the mountain. And
uh-huh.
we're not going to build that road.
No.
We can't afford
yeah.
it.
But
we can't decide as a community what kind of road do we want to pay for
yeah.
and
yeah.
work with the county and get it done.
Yeah.
But we've got to stop frivolously spending money. We've got to focus our efforts on the road, and the best way to do that is working with the county who have the experts
right.
and the paid people, and have the experience in getting big road projects done.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, go out to the Sunset Subdivision and drive their roads that the county just put in this last fall.
Yeah,
and you'll see for yourself what can be done.
Nice.
So I was just gonna say, we've talked a little bit about the unincorporation, but there is a timeline that I think is gonna
happen. That was my next question for you. So what is the future of Cedar Highlands as you see it?
There is a citizen committee that is going to collect signatures for a petition to disincorporate the town, and they're gonna start doing that in February.
Okay.
So they only need 17 signatures. That's all it takes to get it on the ballot, believe it or not.
Sounds tricky.
Well, we had 67 people vote in the last congressional election,
and
you need 25% of that number. So there'll be no problem for getting 17 signatures. That will go to the county clerk. You'll verify that the signatures are valid, and then it gets turned over to a Iron County judge. And the judge will administer an election then.
Okay.
And the election has to take place 60 to 90 days. That's the window. So if the petition is turned in, say, at the end of February, realistically, we're looking to have an election to disincorporate the town probably in early May is when it would happen.
Wow.
And, I can't predict 100%, but I think there's been so much dissatisfaction and there's been such an acceptance that the foundation on which the town was formed is just not valid, that I think it's going to be pretty overwhelming that the town will unincorporate. The judge will then wind down the affairs of the town, and I'm going to make sure that they're as simple as they can be, that all our bills are paid, contracts are dealt with, things like that, and then we'll go back with the county. And I've already talked with the county department heads, letting them know what this potential timeline is.
Okay.
And just trying to create a smooth transition back to the county.
Yeah.
And I think we're on board to do that.
Good.
And if that vote happens.
And we were talking before we started recording, just from the perspective of someone with real estate clients up in the area, one of the things that I haven't been able to help my clients predict is what their costs are going to be next year. Because if you do disincorporate, your property taxes will certainly go down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. HOA fees may or may not go up. There may or may not be an assessment. So I think that this process really introduces a lot more stability into the community.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's certain things that we know are going to happen. One is our property taxes are going to go down significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the town has created a lot of work that only a handful of volunteers are really doing right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the average person living up there, if you don't attend the meetings or whatever, you're not even aware about how much it takes to run a municipal government.
The
financial reporting mandates, all the different things we have to do. I also think that our liability will go down.
Sure.
Because essentially, we assume the liability for a huge chunk of land.
Yeah.
Land use issues, building permits, all those types of things we have to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And all that will go away.
Yeah.
And it'll create a whole lot less work. And I think it'll give us the ability to focus more on working with the county and working with our community on accurate numbers that we have, and we can decide how we're going to go forward with the road.
Yeah.
So the certainty, the town, all of that stuff, I think it's complicated the road issue. It's thrown another layer of government into the mix, and that layer of government has extremely limited resources to deal with the projects of like a multi-million dollar road project.
Well, I think limited experience and background in municipal government management. I mean, from what I've seen, a lot of the people up there are retired.
Yes.
Or it's a second home, So I think you've got, you as the mayor and a lot of the town council that thought they were moving there to retire, not to move in and take on a new unpaid job of managing a municipality.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, I mean, I stepped up to do it, and I have no regrets, but you're right.
Yeah.
Our town clerk is a volunteer, and I mean, she has done a tremendous job in helping us really organize the finances of the town, all the requirements, everything that we have to do. But she moved up there to retire.
Yeah.
She made it very clear she's not in this for the long term at all.
Right.
So the reality is, you know, she ends up saying, I'm done. Well, we're back to square one.
Yeah.
We got to find somebody. We got to recruit somebody. Is it going to be a volunteer? Are they going to be able to devote the real amount of time it takes? I mean, she's working, you know, sometimes I know she works 15, 20 hours a week on town business.
Wow.
And that's never what she intended to
do,
but that's what it takes. So, I mean, I it's kind of interesting being a mayor advocating the demise of my own town. But I'm a realist.
Yeah.
And I honestly have no other agenda other than to try to do what's best for the people that live there.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the people that live there today.
Sure.
I can't worry about who might move up there 10 years from now.
Uh-huh.
But we have to take care of the needs of the people that live there today.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no agenda. I'm not interested in development or any, you know, expanding of city government. I don't want to build a town hall. I don't want any of that. I want us to get together as a community, lower our property tax rate, eliminate the liability that we have, stop having to pay for services that were provided free to us when we were county residents, and let's focus all of our energy, all of our money on really seeing if we can get a road improved up to our community.
Yeah. And who knows, in 10 or 20 years with a new road, maybe there'll be a gas station and a convenience store.
Well, let's hope not. There could certainly be something.
There might be a case for making a town.
Yeah. But when I, Jenny, you've been in real estate. I just want to always emphasize that we talk about these issues and problems. Cedar Highlands is one of the most unique, beautiful, picturesque communities in the southwestern United States.
It really is.
It's
and you can talk about, you know, these obstacles and these things that need to be overcome, and then you take people up there and you show them these beautiful cabins with these views that just
they're jaw-dropping.
Blow your
mind.
Yeah.
In fact, I took some people up there a few weeks ago, and they sat down in the living room, and they said, we're not leaving. We're just going to buy it.
Well, I don't doubt that for a minute, because it is really so unique and so beautiful. And I've never lived in a place, you know, like this at all. And I just think we got off track a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Let's get back on track, and let's really just focus on the needs of the people up there. We can get this road project done working with the county. That was another sort of thing that was thrown out there, that you can't ever work with the county and they won't help. And, well, you go out and talk to the Sunset Subdivision people about that, and you drive their new roads, and you see that's not true.
Yeah.
And I've had the chance, if there's one really positive thing about becoming mayor, I've had a chance to sit down with the county officials, talk to the commissioners, talk to Reed Erickson, talk to the assessors, and talk to those people, and understand that they want to help Cedar Highlands.
They really do.
They really do. They want us to be an integrated part of the county, and they're more than willing to help us. But we first have to acknowledge the reality that we have to help ourselves, and we're the ones that are going to have to fund that road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think there's a legitimate concern of having these little, you know, pockets of citizens asking for the whole county to subsidize their own little thing, and I think there's a legitimate reluctance at the county to do that.
Yeah.
They'll definitely help, you know, like you were talking about, they can go out and find these really low interest loans because of the power that they have as a county. They've got that reach.
Right. Expertise and logistical power.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But I do think it's appropriate, just like out in Sunset, that, you know, if there's a group of people who want to have something done, then I'm all for that little group of people getting it done and figuring it out. And it sounds like that's the direction you guys are heading.
Well, that's the direction I think that we're in. And ultimately, like I said, I'm a realist. If we present a plan and we present it to the community and they go for it, we'll have a new road. If they won't go for it, then
buy new snow tires.
Buy new snow tires. I got my four-wheel drive truck. And like I said, I drive up and down that road all day. And you got to remember, like you said, there is a beautiful paved scenic access road.
About near, 6 months of the year.
I would say six, 7 months out of the year. It's a beautiful scenic paved road into our community, and it's not an issue.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about, you know, in the winter, but I don't think we're really that much different than any other winter community that has to make adjustments and have the right equipment and occasionally put on chains. And if you do all that stuff, you're good to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's where we're at. You know, I'm optimistic that this little town thing, let's just say it was an experiment. It didn't pan out the way we wanted it to, but we're going to move forward. And there's so many great people up there. And I think we're more, well, I'll tell you the story. After one of my first council meetings, because the council meetings before, they were no fun.
They were a little contentious.
They were contentious. So after my first council meeting, when we actually listened to people and we let people talk and we didn't, you know, shut them down, and I get a little text message. It's just a, you know, thanks, Jim. We are a family again.
Oh,
so
that's great.
So that's the direction we need to keep going in.
Yes.
Realize everybody up there is in it together.
Yes.
Let's pull together. And let's just make sure we have a clear direction on where we're pulling and why
that's
we're getting
there.
That's
great.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
I love you giving us all of this information so that everyone else who's thinking about incorporation can step back and ask themselves, do we really want to do this?
Right.
Because I could see that, you know, Iron County is scheduled to explode in population over 20 years, double. And I could see some smaller communities deciding, well, you know what, we need to make our own little town. And, you know, if you say, well, let me tell you about Cedar Highlands. Maybe we should just go talk to the county first.
Yeah. Proceed with caution.
The legend of Cedar
Highlands.
The legend,
yeah, that's a good one.
We appreciate your cautionary tale.
I'll be happy to talk to anybody that wants my input. And I'm not saying never, but you have to really look at all the issues and think it through and make sure that you've got the right people, leading you in for the right reasons.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
That's great. Well, I covered everything that I have. Do you have anything else that...
No, I'm just glad that you came and give us an update.
Anything else that you want this community to know about your little family up in Cedar Highlands?
I think you talked about how many homes have sold. The real estate market is good.
I've actually not seen, you know, the last couple of years, I've seen it continue to be strong. And I think that is really a testament to the sheer beauty.
Yes.
That you find up there. It's just incredible. I mean, in the last 12 months, there's been 8 residential properties sold. You've got one under contract and there's 8 on the market. So you're really tracking about the same as you always have.
So I would just say, you know, anybody that looking to check out Cedar Highlands, don't let this road issue be any kind of a limiting factor.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has adjusted. I mean, I'm from San Diego. I grew up and pretty much spent my entire life in San Diego. Now I'm living in the mountains in Utah. So I always tell people, if I can adjust,
anybody
can adjust and can make it. So, anybody have any questions, you can always contact me through our mayor email and the website, and I'll be happy to talk to anybody about our community.
That's great. That's great. I've sent a lot of people your way to get that kind of assurance and sort of that vision for what the future is going to be. So that's great.
Keep doing it.
Okay. You got it. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming in. It's fascinating information, and like you say, quite, it could be historically relevant.
Yes.
It's time.
Yeah. Footnote.
That's right. This has been Color Country Politics, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.